Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Sunday, February 12th, 2017, and I'm so blessed you joined me at nobetterway.net, and we are being heard on blogtalkradio.com/nobetterway. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois, and my prayer is that tonight's show will bless you. It will bless you richly. The title of tonight's show is Let God Be True and Every Man a Liar. And that title comes right out of the Bible from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 4. As I'll read Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. And it reads, "What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen." So the Lord is telling us that no matter what man thinks or what he says, if some do not have faith, if they seek righteousness through their own ways, through their own good works, their own lifestyle, their own doing, it doesn't change the words of God. The words written in the Bible. The book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, says that no human being is righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And Jesus Christ is the only one that is perfectly righteous. And if we have faith in Jesus, we are freed from the power of sin, freed from the chains of sin. And through the freedom, we are given a new life. And through Jesus Christ, we are returned to a right relationship with God. That relationship that was severed when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It separated sinful man with a holy and perfect God. And in that garden before man sinned, Adam and Eve enjoyed a perfect relationship with the Father. They would walk daily in the cool of the day. But now that they had sinned, there was separation between God and man. And it took Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, to come down to earth, to be born of a virgin, to live a life on earth, to experience life, the pain of life, to see the struggles. And eventually, his ministry would lead to the cross, that he would pay for our sins. He would pay a bloody, brutal death on that cross. But folks, the wonderful way to salvation, our salvation for us, we sinners, is that we only have to believe, just believe, have faith, to put our faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that we can do to be freed from the chains of our sins. Nothing. No works can win a ticket to eternity. I don't say this. The Word of God says this. And there's nothing we can do to win that ticket to eternity, a ticket to heaven with Jesus Christ and with our loved ones that put their faith in Christ. There's no human reasoning, no religious formulas. Actually, I'd say it's pretty cool, pretty simple, folks. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. I'll also read 17. And that John 3:16 is the famous verse that some consider the actual Bible in a nutshell. And when I read it, I want you to put your first name where it says world. And so it reads, for God so loved the world. So I can say, for God so loved Tony, or for God so loved Nancy, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then I'll go on to verse 17 where it reads, for God did not send his son to condemn the world. So we can say, for God did not send his son to condemn Tony, or God did not send his son to condemn Nancy, but to save Tony, to save Nancy through him. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, what are we being saved from? Well, it's that sin problem. It's something we're all born with ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And with our sins, if we don't do anything about it, if we just live in our own self-righteousness, we are destined to spend eternity in hell, separated from God, separated from Jesus Christ. And so, folks, we have this sinful, this sin problem. We have to make ourselves, we have to make it right. We have to make it right with God. And that only comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. It's only by taking our sinful hearts, telling the Lord that we're sorry for our sins, taking our sinful ways and repenting. What does it mean to repent? It means to rethink, to turn around. Jesus wants all of us to turn from our sinful, wicked ways and follow him. Just like when he was on earth, Jesus, he asked the apostles, he says, come, or actually commanded them, come and follow me. And what did Peter and Andrew and Matthew and Thomas and John and all the rest, they followed. And that's what he wants us to do. And when you say you believe in him, that means you put your faith in him. That means you will follow him. And I realize what an awesome savior that we have. And that we're made right, we're made righteous, not by our works, but it's by Jesus Christ. And folks, you'll notice that when you put your faith in him, when you say, I'm going to follow, you'll notice a change, a transformation, and others will notice the change in you also. Jesus Christ, your Messiah, will begin to transform you. You'll become every day a little more like him. I mean, we're all always going to be sinners. We're never going to be perfect like the Lord, but we're going to become more like him. And I like where they say, when you get to heaven, you know, Jesus as our great advocate, when we get to heaven and stand before the God, God the Father is not going to see us. He'll see the face of Christ, because it's Christ who is our great advocate, our Savior. He paid the price. Just like someone pays the price when you have a fine to get out of prison. Say you're fined $1,000, otherwise you've got to spend 30 days in prison. And so you have someone come and they pay that fine for you. Well, Jesus paid price for us. The price was death. He shed blood on the cross. And I have to say, coming to faith in Yeshua, in Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. No human, no man on earth can become like Jesus on his own. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. It's that Holy Spirit that the Lord promised he would send us, right? To counsel us, to guide us, to give us the wisdom, the discernment we need. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding that'll fill us when the Holy Spirit indwells in us. that Holy Spirit that will bless us. And again, like I said, that Holy Spirit that will give us the wisdom that will guide us in our lives. It's that Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts when we're tempted, when we are moving away from God. It'll kind of nudge us to get us back where we belong. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us a blessing. He has spoke through the prophets. Prophets that were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down the words of salvation. In 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, it reads, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophets' own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Amen. That's pretty cool, huh? Holy Spirit came down and touched John to write the Gospel of John and to write the Book of Revelation, how the Lord touched Paul and moved him to write many books in the New Testament, just like I refer to the Book of Romans or the Book of Timothy or Titus, all these wonderful books in the New Testament. Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit. It's pretty cool. And it also says that that all Scripture is God-breathed. That's referencing to Timothy writing that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it is good for rebuking and teaching fellow Christians. And so no matter what men or women say, folks, no matter what they say, that, okay, I don't really believe in the Bible. You know, it's outdated. It's ancient history. We're in modern times, modern technology. I don't believe in the Bible. What does it say? Heaven and earth shall pass, Jesus said, but my word will never pass. Amen? So a lot of people say they don't believe in the Bible. You know, they'll say, I don't believe in fairy tales. And there's a proverb, chapter 14, verse 12, which says, man's ways seem right to him, but in the end it leads to death. Man's ways lead to death. So, my dear friends, I'm going to wrap up with a reading from the Old Testament. And this is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death. Again, I'll say, against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Amen. So for all those who refuse God's truth, God's word which is the gift of salvation, I'll repeat Romans chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. All right, folks, let's take a little break. And after this song, we have so much to talk about. First song I'm going to play, which seems appropriate, is Break Every Chain by the Jesus Culture. Hope you enjoy.
There is power in
Great song by Jesus Culture, Break Every Chain. And that's what it's about, being free from the sins of this world. When you are sins that have grabbed hold of you, what did Jesus say? You're a slave to that sin. And that's what we want to break away from. We want freedom and through Christ Jesus. Not that any of us will ever stop sinning, but that we'll seek to follow Him, and that we won't be, what would we say, cling to sin. Or rather, we want to break away from those sins, you know, break those chains. And I was mentioning before on my introduction that there's nothing we can do. Of course, once you come to follow Christ, you want to live and follow the ways of Christ. And Jesus said that those who love Him will obey His commandments. So, I mean, we want to live according to the Bible. But we don't have to worry that if we do mess up, that we're going to be condemned or lose our salvation. What did Jesus say, or what did the Bible say about David in the Old Testament? It said David was a man after God's own heart. Yet, if you look at his life, he was guilty of adultery, of murder, of just sinister plots, a lot of things that people really say, wow, man, this David, man, he really messed up. But in the end, he had a heart for the Lord. And even as much as he suffered the consequences of his sin, God loved him dearly and blessed him dearly. And God did choose him to lead his people. So there's nothing we can do. I'm going to read, this is 2 Ephesians. Second chapter of Ephesians, starting with verse 8. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we can't go up to heaven and say we worked our way into heaven, and we're all, everyone's up in heaven and bragging about all the good things we did. No, you just did it because it was God's will. It was His way. You did it out of love for Him, right? For His glory, not to boast. And then it goes on, but it does talk about works. So it says, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So these things that you're doing for the kingdom, they have already been prepared and laid out. So, you know, we pray to the Lord, seek His will, seek His guidance. And there, those things that He wants us to do are already there. And I'm a firm believer, folks, that your day of you know, on earth, the day you die, has already been etched in stone. And I don't care unless you flaunt God's blessings and you jump off a bridge or something. God will keep you on this earth to do the work He has for you. No matter how sick you are, how frail, He's got work for you to do. He's going to keep you around. But when it's time to go, it's time to go. I've seen the healthiest people all of a sudden just drop dead of a heart attack. What's that all about? It was their time, folks. I mean, you could be smart. You want to live a life that's healthy and, you know, be smart about how you live. But I truly believe that your ticket's been already punched. Amen. And another verse I wanted to read is, this is in Romans chapter 5, and it happens to be my pastor, Pastor Andy's favorite verse. And before I read the verse, the one thing, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that's Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and it talks about, may you have the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. So I think it's everyone that wants that peace. They don't want to be going crazy, just always aggravated, agitated, that they have to get this right, get that right. You know, always being this constant flux that, you know, they just can't find this peace. And I heard this one preacher talking about one time, and he went to visit Israel. And he was at the Wailing Wall. And there was a rabbi. And this was a rabbi probably well up in age, probably, you know, mid-80s or so, older. And he was standing there crying at the Wailing Wall. And someone came up to him and asked him, "What's wrong, Rabbi?" And he said, "Nothing." He goes, "I finally have peace. I realized that Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus, said Yeshua is my Messiah, my Savior." And so he had the peace of God in him. He finally could come to peace with his life. And so I'm going to read, this is Romans chapter 5, and I'll just read the first two verses. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore," again, I'll read the first verse, "since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, it's telling us that it's not works, it's faith, and that faith makes us right. And then as our faith grows, our works grow. And those works are not, we don't do those works to brag amongst other Christians. "Oh, well, I gave $5,000 to this charity, and I spent 100 hours at the homeless shelter, and I did this, I did that." No, it's not about that. It's your love for the Lord. And that Holy Spirit has a way of just creating a sense of peace, a sense of delight. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37, verse 4, for which says, "For those who delight in the Lord, he gives the desires of their heart." So what that says is, once we come into the faith, once you come into faith with Christ, you have a relationship with the Lord. You tend to be on the same wavelengths. So for those who delight in the Lord, right, for those who do the things that delight with him and you, you're on the same page. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And because you're on the same page with the Lord, those desires will be what he wants for you. So it's not like, "Oh, Lord, can you get me a Mercedes-Benz? I'd like to have a 8,000 square foot mansion and on a lake. And while you're at it, can you give me a 45 foot yacht and whatever?" No, that's not what it's about. When you're lined up with the Lord, you're going to want the things he wants. You're going to delight with what he wants. And those desires you want will be in perfect, not perfect, but in harmony with God. And to that, I say amen. And what did even Jesus, how much did he have on earth? He said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head." Jesus, are you Jesus, Yeshua. I like that. I love the term Yeshua. That's a Hebrew term for Jesus. Jesus, he didn't have much. They probably just had enough food, clothing on their backs, right? And they would create their own shelters as they would go town to town. And sometimes people would bless them and have them in their homes. But Jesus had very little earthly things. Yet he had such a delight with the Father. And his desires were met because he was in line with the Father. Perfect harmony, perfect will. And to me, that's pretty cool. Amen. I say to that, amen. Well, I want to call out the number. I'd love for you to call in tonight. The number is 347-989-0095. Again, 347-989-0095. And if you've got a question or a prayer request, I have a text number, 630-674-4960. I'd love to have you call in. Maybe you've got a story to share. Maybe God's speaking to your heart and you want to share that with us. That would be awesome. Or maybe tonight you just need someone to pray for you. You're going through a tough time. Love to hear from you. We're all friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, in Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen. You know, my I'm going to say time flies. In a couple of days, I'll be celebrating my birthday, and I went out to lunch with my brother today, and he treated me for lunch, and he gave me this pamphlet that he received from a Christian lady. And thank you, Casey. And on it, it has a prayer list for the president. It says a monthly prayer guide for President Donald J. Trump. So on this paper, it's got 31 different prayers. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'll read a couple of them at the end of the show. And we need, as Christians, to pray for our leaders. Pray for President Trump, Vice President Michael Pence, and all the administration, the Senate, the Congress, our state and local politicians, you know, that they would have godly wisdom, compassion for the people, especially for the less fortunate. And so at the end of the show, I'll have a prayer for President Trump and his administration. And in the meantime, again, that number, 347-989-0095. Love to hear from you. As I was doing my study for the show this week, I came across some really good verses. It talked about in Romans chapter 4, the first few verses, that how Abraham, how he was justified by faith. And we tend to think of our Christian faith as more New Testament than old. Yet, here we're talking about Abraham, the father of Israel, right? That God had promised would have more descendants than the stars in the sky. And he says he was justified by faith, just like us. Pretty cool. Question out there to you folks, something to think about as we live our lives. Some of you are kind of sitting on the fence on your faith, praying. I'd say if you're sitting on the fence and right now you're saying, well, you know, I'm not sure about Christianity. I see a lot of hypocrites. I watch TV and all these preachers on the gospel say, if you give money, then you'll be truly blessed by God. You know, all you have to do is send in $100 and you'll see the blessings come to you like you've never seen before. And I would say when you hear preachers like that talking, that's prosperity gospel, I'd say run away, because it isn't like that. God will always bless you, but it's not based on your giving. Sometimes it's based on your need. And God will bless you sometimes basically on your obedience, just how you live. If you're going to live for the Lord, you will see things in your life that it can only be of God. I mean, things will happen. People will come into your life, blessings, whether they're financial, whether that there'll be a child that you've been trying to have, you and your wife been trying to have a baby for years, and finally you're blessed, and that's a blessing more than any money could buy. There's a job you've been looking for and looking for and looking for, and you've been praying about it, and for whatever reason, God held back, because with God, timing is His. And He may have said, until this time, then you'll be blessed with this job. So, there, as I was saying before, others sitting on the fence, I would say, you know, I do believe in God. I believe, you know, I read His word, and it seems true. I'm just not ready to make that step. And I remember when I first became a Christian, I just asked God. I said, you know, God, I've been through a lot. I've been disappointed. I lost my dad when I was 14. I lost my sister of cancer at 45. I lost a brother to suicide. And you know what? I don't know. I don't know what. But if you're real, show me. And he started sending people into my life, Christians into my life. Things started to turn around. I went to a worship service, and it seemed like God was talking right to me. The message was right at me, right at my heart. So if you pray to the Lord and you say, Lord, show me. Just show me you're real. He will. He will show you he's real. He'll send people. He'll bless you. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. I mean, God is real. Sometimes we're just blind. God is around us. He's working in our lives. You may be a Christian or not be a Christian. God is working in your life. He's planting seeds. He's working in all of our lives. Sometimes we're just too busy to see him. Amen? I say amen. And I'll tell you one thing, folks. Satan loves our busyness. He loves when we're so busy, we miss church on Sunday. We're so busy, we don't have time to talk to a friend that needs some encouragement. We're so busy that we're so busy, we're so tired, whatever the excuse. Some are valid. Maybe we need to just balance out our lives. Work a little less. Pray a little more. Seek the Lord more. And like I said, Satan loves our busyness. He loves to keep us from God. He is that wedge. He is the one since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve fell. There's been this, like L.A. Marzulli wrote a book, The Cosmic Chess Match. Talks about how Satan and Jesus have been warring since the garden and even before that. They've been warring. He does not want us to come to faith. He does not want our souls to be saved. Hell was made for the devil, wasn't made for man. But Jesus provided a way that all sinners, he provided a way. There is a way, folks. Right? Hell was made for Satan and his minions, all the fallen angels, not for us. But sin put a wedge, separated us from God. God provided a way. Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, for I am, before Thomas was saying, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus so strongly, boldly said, John 14, verse 6, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, either Jesus is a liar, right? The word of God is false, or it's true. And if it's true, then Jesus, what he says is true, that he's the only way. We can believe or we can deny. We can put it off, say, well, I kind of believe, but you know what? I'm going to wait. I got to clean up my act. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm in a relationship, adulterous relationship, or whatever is going on in your life. And you say, you know what? I'm going to put it off. Well, only today is promised, tomorrow, right? What does it say? Yesterday is a canceled check. Today is a blessing, and tomorrow is a promissory note. So we only have today. So anyone sitting on the fence and they're feeling the Holy Spirit touch their hearts, but they're putting it off day after day after day, you don't have to clean up your act. God will do the cleaning up. Just give your heart. What is it in Revelation chapter 3? I want to say verse 20. Here I am, I knock at the door. Whoever shall open that door, I will come in and dine with them, and they with me. So God's knocking on your heart. He wants you to. There's no handle on the outside, or there's no big battering ram. The Lord's not going to have a handle to pull that door open of your heart, or he doesn't have a battering ram. He's not forcing his way. He's not going to force his gift of salvation on you. He's asking you to open the door to your heart. Let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day. Like I say, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Let today be the day. Amen? Amen. Again, I'll give out that number. I'd love, hoping my son will call in. He's a youth minister Now he moved up to Wakanda, Illinois. He's at LifeBridge Church. He loves the Lord, and he's a youth minister, family ministries, and works with young hearts, teaches them the gospel, teaches them about how Jesus paid the price for their sins, that Jesus is the only way. And the wonderful news is the third day, Jesus rose. He defeated death. And he defeated death for us. And one day, we'll have the same resurrected body like Jesus has. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. So, be nice if my son called in. I know those Sundays are busy. He has meetings at church Sunday evening. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song and I'll be back in a couple of minutes. And I'm going to play God So Loved. So after the song, I'll be back and looking for some phone calls. Hope you enjoy God So Loved. Well, folks, I hope tonight's show is a blessing. Just played the song God So Loved, which is right out of John 3:16. And I was mentioning before about all Scripture is Holy Spirit inspired. I was referring to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And then there's another verse I want to read because I think it's important for us to realize that this Bible, B-I-B-L-E, which some people say, biblical instruction before leaving earth, it was crafted and put together by a holy, perfect God. And the cool thing is, he could have written this thing himself, right, and had it handed out. But yet, he chose men. He chose men that were after God's own heart. He chose men that had faith. They believed in him. And just think, folks, we have the complete Bible. I mean, I'm not saying that revelation or messages or things will stop coming from God. But I'm saying this Bible was put together by God, crafted, 66 books, and it's like a puzzle. You know, some people lean and they say, well, I just kind of follow the New Testament. The Old Testament is kind of like God and you know, fire and brimstone. But really, it's not. I referred to before where I said Abraham, you know, he was justified by faith, right? And that's from the Old Testament. And so this is another scripture I wanted to read, and this is from 2 Timothy. It's kind of cool because it's 3:16, just like John 3:16. I think sometimes God does that on purpose. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 reads, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Remember what we said before? We were talking about being made righteous, and that's only through faith in Christ. And so I'll read that again. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So for us to be equipped to do good works, we need the Word of God to back those good works. God's telling us that to exist, to live as a Christian, we need His Word. Amen. So that is really good words there by Timothy, 2 Timothy. And, you know, we're living in a time, folks, and part of the reason is because of people kind of look at their own self-righteousness, their own reasoning. Like I mentioned before, Proverbs 14, verse 12, where it says, man's ways seem right to him, but in the end it leads to death. Sometimes man can get in trouble. I mean, anytime you're reading God's Word or you're praying, ask the Lord to guide you in His truth. Guide you in His truth, His way, His life, His light, right? Ask Him to guide you, because sometimes it's easy to drift away when we start to reason outside of the Bible. So it could be dangerous. You know, it's good to have Bible studies that we all discuss and throw, you know, whatever we're discussing, you know, put our minds together. But always pray, seeking God's wisdom and guidance. I'll read a verse a little further down. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll start out with verse 1. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Again, I'll say, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So the Lord is saying it's commanded that we preach the word. I mean, we're not all going to be these dynamic preachers, but our life will be a witness. And if we have biblical knowledge, We can share some verses with folks that are, you know, prayed, you know, that would help encourage them, that would teach them, that would kind of correct them when they're saying things that are not right of God. And if you have God's word, you'll be able to, like it says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. But use great patience and careful instruction. And then I'll continue. And this is, I think, where the world's at today, folks. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. For the time will come, I think we're in that time, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Amen. Amen. So the Bible warns us of a time. People won't want to hear the whole truth. They'll want to take the Bible and cut and paste, take things out that they don't like. I'm not going to mention specific sins, but you know there's churches, preachers, and they are not living the full word of God. You know, when it says repent, it doesn't say repent, pick and choose. It says repent of all your sins. Pray to the Lord that God would convict your heart. We are to turn away from our ways, sinful ways. You know, get into Exodus. I won't read today, but Exodus and has the Ten Commandments. What is it? Exodus chapter 20. Read the Ten Commandments and tells you. And then you could read in Romans chapter 1. It refers how the world will turn. And God will give them up because of their reprobate minds. So, in Romans chapter 1, Paul warns the people that, you know, that they'll cling to their sin and God will give them up. So a good prayer is, I love Psalm 139. It's the last two verses. I want to say 13 and 14. I love this prayer because it's kind of a confession prayer. And this is David. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there's any sinful way, lead me in your way, Lord." So David was crying out to the Lord that he said, "Search me, Lord. If there's any sinful way, lead me in your way." Pray that the Holy Spirit will convict your hearts. And anyone that, good thing is to study the Bible, know the Word of God. And that verse is so, I don't know why, but when I read that verse, it just hits a home run with my heart. Let God be true and every man a liar. So Paul is writing in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, the key verse of the show tonight. He is saying that no matter what man say, his reasoning, if he's going to contest God and his word, then let God be true and every man a liar. It's one thing to discuss the word of God and have a problem understanding, but crying out to God that he would give you understanding, that he would open your eyes. It's another thing to just totally refuse what God's word says and say, "Nope, I'm not going to follow that. Nope, nope, nope. I'm not going to, not that." It's all or none. This whole Bible is God-breathed, Holy Scripture. And to that I say, amen. Amen. And I think I'm going to kind of wrap it up. For all those that are listening to the show tonight, thank you. I appreciate, and I pray that you're, night's been blessed. And what I'm going to do is first I'm going to say a prayer for Donald Trump and Mike Pence, the president and the vice president, and their administration. And there's 31 prayers on here. So I think what I'll do is I'll pick about three of those. And maybe a couple of weeks I'll kind of go through them. And either, you know, as a Christian, You may not like President Trump, but as Christians, we are called to pray for the presidency, pray for the president. And it's amazing how prayer works. How God answers our prayer. And if we're all praying strongly for him, that, you know, whatever that prayer would be, that you would strengthen him, fill him with compassion, fill him with wisdom, that he would do things that would bring the country together rather than separate. So I'm gonna pray, and I'll mention maybe three of these notes. Okay, dear Lord, there is much chaos. There is much hatred towards the president right now in this country. Lord, you are so important for our country and our future. And I ask blessings upon President Donald J. Trump and also Vice President Michael Pence. I pray for them, their families, their administration. And I pray that the presidency, President Trump, that he would demonstrate kindness and speak truth to all whom he interacts on a daily basis. I pray that God would clothe President Trump with wisdom, that he would endow him with understanding and grant him discernment. And I pray that God would unite the nation behind our president when he makes decisions that honor God. And I lift these prayers up to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill Donald Trump with your Holy Spirit, that he would grow in his faith in you, Lord. As a child, he talks about getting a Bible from his mother, going to church. I pray, Lord, that you would fill him with your Spirit. You would nudge him to want to know you and to follow you and to be that he would want to be a godly leader for this country that so desperately needs you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. And I'd like to close the show. I would like to thank all those that have listened and that will listen to the show. Pray blessings upon them. The good Lord, that you would bless them and keep them in your care. For all those that are suffering in illness, whatever that may be, I pray your healing hands upon all those that are listening, that are struggling with the illness, that you would guide them to a cure, and that your healing hands would even cure them, Lord. That you made these wonderful, as you say in Psalm 139, you said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we are made to heal. And Lord, through your touch and through your, you've given us godly wisdom, that our bodies, our ailments can be healed and restored. And I just pray, Lord, that those that are seeking, those that are sitting on the fence, that today would be their day of salvation. Again, I'll say yesterday is a canceled check and tomorrow is a promissory note. So all we have is today. And it's not about coming when we get ourselves cleaned up. We'll come when, you know, when we get rid of this or get rid of that in our life. No. I pray that they come as they are. And Lord, you'll just touch them and transform them in your time, Lord. In your wonderful time. And that, as the show's title is, Lord, that your word would ring true. And for all those that contest your word, that mock your word, Lord, I pray that they would be convicted, and that the words of Romans chapter 3, verse 4 ring true. No matter what kind of wicked, sinful world, Jesus is there. The great gift of salvation is there for all those who believe. John 3:16, for those who For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe shall not perish, but have eternal life. For all those that believe, that gift is there, Lord. Those that mock the word, let their words, the words of Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. And with that I say amen, amen. And I pray all this in the precious blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Good night, folks. God bless.
Harder than a lie, the dark seems safer than the night, and everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best if we're honest, if we're